the mental model I have for AI, at least in say the like the next, like I don't have a time frame, but like this sort of like the next epoch of AI is, I think like essentially like anything that is repeatable is out of a job. The middleman is removed. And what we're left with is like the big picture people, the big picture thinking people will have a superpower. Like it's an absolute superpower.
NVA, welcome to the show, man. Welcome to AI Unchained. Why don't you introduce yourself for the audience? Just so, I mean, you've got your wall of the cool-ass stuff you've built behind you, which is pretty dope.
It's growing. It's becoming too messy. And the OG block lock that was here dropped on the floor and broke, so I need to get it.
No. Oh, that's sad. The OG block clock. You can't even get those anymore.
I know. I have a few still in hand, but yeah, brutal.
Those are precious.
Yes, very.
Well, for the AI Unchained audience, everybody in Bitcoin Audible knows you, but for the AI Unchained audience, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I guess you're having me here today to talk about Unleash.chat.
Yes. Yes.
My new pet peeve project that's turning into a company.
Hell yeah. Also, for anybody more interested in the security and Bitcoin route, obviously the cold card, I mean, you hear about it, CoinKite sponsors the show, but amazing, amazing tools over there. And I'm really stoked about the queue just because of the idea of being able to use it for a password manager and then like the Sats link idea. Like I really feel like it's super underappreciated that we have these tools to be able to, especially, and I think AI is like really critical for this. And then the fact that we're moving into stuff that's more peer-to-peer based and like all of our systems are key based is like being able to figure out how to use keys, I think is going to be as equally important. You know, like it's something that's like crucial to sort it out.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, check those out if you haven't. Without a doubt, you must. So Unleash.chat. This is something, how long has Unleash.chat been live? I guess I found it. I don't know. I guess it was probably right when you announced it, now that I think about it.
So I think I was talking to a friend who runs a Future 500 company in Costa Rica about Nostrica. When was Nostrica? It was March the previous year.
Okay.
I think. And he looks at me. He's like, so what's your AI strategy? You know, I sort of like, I thought to myself for a second, I mean, like, they're all kind of shit right now, so and I don't have one. And that really sort of like struck a chord on me. I'm like, fuck, I don't have one. and like I don't know how to learn without like building something like kind of like a product, right? Like that, that's how my brain thinks. Like I need to understand things through a product path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people need to read the, you know, the scholars, some people need to read the papers, some people need to read the, you know, some people need to go and make an art project, whatever, right? Like
you have to make a podcast, a podcast and read everything. Like that's my route. That's my route.
Yeah. So like for me is making a product, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started diving in, and then I forgot about it because I got busy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think like a couple months, what was it? Like, say like probably November last year, I decided that like, okay, great. Like, you know, ChatGPT is finally like becoming like usable.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't want to upload my data to this shit. Right. Like it was really like that simple. It's like, they know who I am because of the credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And I have all this, like, you know, company financial data. I have all, like, you know, personal questions and things. And, like, I don't trust this thing. I'm not going to upload my data. And then I'm, like, now in a conundrum, right? Like, I can't, Because like AI on personal computers is absolute shit.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah, it generally
realistically
is.
Speaking, it's like you can't like there. You know, like I know people want to believe, but like it's unusable comfortably. Right. Like you can't use it for real. Right. For real life.
Like I love Mixtral. But I still end up using about. Actually, I use Mixtral for a lot more lately. But like it's specifically, it only runs in a operational sense because of my GPU. On my Linux machine.
Yeah.
Like it's even on my M1, it's still a little bit stressful, you know?
Yeah. And so then I was like, okay, great. So what do I do now?
Yeah.
So you know, I gather a few resources, right? And I have one guy working with me that like it's like really good at general sort of back end systems and sort of like very good at scaling things.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I'm like, great. So, let's put this together because I want to use something that like is usable and also private.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with this mindset of like, hey, we're going to make this as if it was a product for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like not sort of like, you know, let's just sort of like, you know, test out all the AI technology and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was paying a lot of attention now at like the open source models, and like I really think that like, you know, it's either open source models or you know, humanity dies kind of thing. And the open source models are like fairly decent. They're always just say about 6 months behind, which is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Because that catch up time is fine. You need to build tooling anyways. And then I was talking like a good friend of mine, an OG Bitcoiner, got into AI a few years ago. Quite a few years ago now. And I was asking him a lot of questions. I wanted to have OpenSats also fund open source AI work.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed like a real domain expert on the field. And the AI field is like it's better now, but it was an absolute minefield of like Mechanical Turk bullshit. And
yeah.
Like, you know, it all fake demos everywhere. Yeah. It still is. I mean, like, yeah, it's, you know, that little like device, it's all fake. Everything is fake demos everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard because like you start building and you look at like all these demos and you go like, how are they doing that? Right? Like, I mean, I have all the tooling and like, you know, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, because it's all bullshit. And then you start building and you start understanding that like at least half of the output you get from all these general purpose LLMs as a service, right? So I guess like we should disambiguate here a little bit, right? Like we can, you know, for sake of conversation, let's just call it AI. But when we talk about AI, we're talking about like really LLMs.
LLMs,
right?
Yeah.
Large language models, right? Mm-hmm. That do the text generation stuff. We can get into the image stuff later, but focusing on this and then you have the chatbots, right? They use the LLMs, right? Mm-hmm. So ChatGPT is a chatbot solution service for that. And when you type something, you get an answer, right? Like it kind of feels a little magical, right? Mm-hmm. Especially like say after version 4 came out for ChatGPT. And for a little while when we started experimenting this stuff, like I couldn't understand why is it that like I have all these models and, you know, we figure out how to scale the GPU side, right? We have like mm-hmm. access to a lot of GPU power. That's why it's fast and good kind of thing. It's not the same. Like it feels disjointed and you don't get the answers and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And we're using open source models. And there is a few choices there, including a GPT version. Well, there was a GPT version, but I don't think it's there anymore. But anyways, I've learned through going through the domain experts and through the vines, they're like, yeah, well, 50% of what you get out of a chat bot is like Mechanical Turking by standard computing, right?
Uh-huh.
Which makes sense, right? I mean, the LLMs are pre-trained, right? But But when you ask them stuff, like they don't know how to search and how to understand what they're searching. And so, for example, even though you can give an LLM all the Nostr NIPs to read and understand Nostr, which you start to do, and you can't just go and see, like, here's a Nostr database. What's happening on Nostr today?
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't work like that, right? You have to write a heap load of software that is all the glue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so essentially, like, you have to build the software tools for the AI to do the things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there is LangChain. That's like a library out there that does, like, that essentially inserts the I'm oversimplifying, but essentially, like, glues the AI asking and responding to other things.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to vectorize the, because AIs don't understand like English the way we do, right? Like, it's like essentially like vector maps.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're just giving them points.
Yeah. yeah, we broke that down. There's a really good read on exactly how that happens. And I think that's really where like kind of the math and the vectorizing of it is like okay, how do we get from the LLM to like basically what you did with Unleash.chat, which is kind of what you're talking about, is that there's this LangChain, there's this whole thing in the middle that makes it useful from the context of like the model that gets pulled from all of the training.
And then, so like when you train a model, right, like it's fixed in time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and it's kind of, that's why, like, when you ask AI, like, you know, general purpose, sort of like general knowledge questions, like trivia, right, of like anything past the date that it was trained, it's not going to know.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you vectorize new web queries for that. So essentially, like, you get the AI to go search the internet, and then you vectorize the answers, and then you tell the AI. The problem is, though, that works more like a fine-tuning kind of thing, like more like just learn language. Mm-hmm. The AI was not trained on this new knowledge yet, and it's not going to be until we retrain the whole AI. All the AI is doing is, hey, this new stuff, I'm going to just treat it like stuff I already know, but with new sort of like data points here, and try to answer this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and the AIs are fairly smart, right? Like in terms of like just like general thinking, which is, doesn't really work like general thinking.
Yeah.
it's such a weird thing.
The statistical probability of what the end of the sentence is.
Yeah. But you know, if we just sort of like oversimplify it, I always think it's like easier to think about these problems. So, like, it's kind of reasonably good at just general thinking. So it can kind of parse that new data and answer you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why in ChatGPT, when you ask a question, it goes on Google and it takes forever to come back, right? Because it does all this stuff. And then what a lot of these companies do is they do multimodal and multimodal. Okay, so they are going to have their first answer analyzed by another AI that's a critical AI, and then it's going to feed back. And then they do all these loops between all these different models. And then they have models that like send data to a different model to pick the right model to answer that. Like it is an absolute zoo.
Yeah.
and you know, and that's why like there is no consistency on answers of different topics or anything. Like it's very sort of like out there. And it's normal, right? I mean, like, this is a completely new field.
It's already a spaghetti bowl of stuff. Like
exactly,
out the gate, yeah.
Yeah. So on Unleashed, what we did is, well, let's be honest. You know, here is like four different open models, right? That are essentially like untrained for woke bullshit. Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's still there is limits, right? Like you know, like it's like we're essentially performing lobotomy, right? And you know, after you perform lobotomy, you know, there will be some consequences to how, because, you know, like people will like, ooh, you know, like, because, yeah. you know, it's like people will ask like essentially like woke test questions on Unleashed, right?
Uh-huh.
And some of the models, there's the mixed trial, there is like a variations of that. We have a few variations of that, all lobotomized. And, you know, people do this test and it's like, dude, like, you know, I know you want really sort of like based AI, but like there is nobody with enough resources yet to train those from scratch outside of cucked environments, right?
Yeah.
So like, oh, look.
You have to modify
yeah,
the one that
like,
did it
wrong.
It's
still like yeah. cucked. No, yeah. man. It's like, you know, this is the best lobotomy can do. but this is for the stupid stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, if you're doing serious work, it's actually incredible. Like, yeah. Because we let you upload PDF data or repo data,
mm-hmm.
like GitHub repos data, and we vectorize it, and we have very good tooling to like really embed this well. And what that does is like you can get the AI to really write code for you. Right, like mm-hmm. and it's really good, and you know, like
I'm constantly impressed. Great? Like the fact that like I can build shit, like I just don't, I don't build. I'm not a developer. I'm just not. And the fact that I can build stuff like quickly and easily, and that it almost universally a combination of Mixtral and ChatGPT, and the shocking similarity in fact, I have had Mixtral give me better answers before. I do a lot of testing back and forth, whether on my computer or Unleashed or, you know, ChatGPT, but I bounce back and forth. And I really think probably even better than Code Llama, I think Mixtral has been giving me the best results in a general sense, which I'm...
You know, I think we are at a point now where we have like... essentially like a drunk math genius who got hit in the head. Like that's the current level of AI.
Yeah. He'll say something just okay. completely retarded sometimes. But every once in a while, it's just like, man, that works.
It's a math genius, but it's drunk.
that's you know, a pretty good analogy.
And he got hit in the head because it's broken in a bunch of ways. And so you can do all this amazing work. You can upload your PDFs. You can do analysis on them. It can help you write a book. It can do all kinds of shit. It just, it can't do the demo trivia question, sort of like yeah. random stuff that's useless anyways, things well,
mm-hmm.
right? That's at least how Unleashed level is right now. ChatGPT is a bit better at some of that.
Honestly, they all suck the web. At that. I guess yeah. the fact that it can search the web, kind of changes that. But
that's on our yeah. that's our next main milestone on development is building the tooling, because the approach that we're taking is sort of like I'm not gonna waste my time trying to build a new model and sort of like go that route. Like that's mm-hmm. super specialized knowledge that yeah. like you know you need $1 billion
yeah
kind of thing like And you know, like I feel like the hard part aside from doing that is sort of building the tooling that glues everything together mm-hmm. and delivers that to you with like reasonable, affordable like computer power.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's sort of like that's where we're like honed in, like this is what we're trying to do, right? It's like and you know, like so for example, like you know. Grok sucks with Twitter, right? Like you ask Grok questions about Twitter, it's really terrible, right? Like really terrible. And it's not getting better, which is fascinating to me. But and then I'm like, okay, great. So I want to do unleash.chat on Twitter. And then I go look, well, there is no Twitter API anymore. Like yeah. you can't yeah. suck the data, right?
Yeah, I tried to build an app with ChatGPT. One day to take my Twitter posts. Wait, no, it was the opposite. It would take my Nostr posts and post them to Twitter. And I couldn't. I went hunting for API and then found out like how rate limited and all this. It was a nightmare. And I gave up after about like a week of just like trying to spend 30 minutes every day trying to figure out how the hell I would do it. And all the formatting, all the everything was easy. It was just Twitter doesn't let you access anything anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Pablo sort of released, remember that Twitter exit thing? So people imported a lot of their tweets to Nostr.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, this is great, right? Like Nostr now has like a decent amount of data in it. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Right. And Nostr is public, right? Like it's open. So let's get all of Nostr, you know, vectorize it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Teach the AI how to understand Nostr, teach the AI how to understand npubs, and then kind zero, which is the metadata of an identity, mm-hmm. right? The persona. And let's grok Nostr, right? And it really fucking works. It's remarkably good. You can say like, you know, how does Lynn feel this week? You know, like, and he will tell you. Shit. Like,
wait, no, I didn't really even know this. Is this live? Because I haven't asked anything. I had no idea that there was any Nostr integration at all.
So then what we started to do was like, hey, like we can suck Nostr live. So like we have a DB that gets updated, I think like every 5 minutes or every 2 minutes behind with all of Nostr.
Okay. I got it. I want to see. Okay. What is Lynn Alden up to today? Lynn has no idea that I'm true. It's like, what are people spying on me? Recently posted about her upcoming public discussion with Carolyn Wilkins, former deputy. Oh my God, this is great. Deputy governor of the Bank of Canada. Oh my God, this is so awesome. This is so much better than a Nostr search. Nostr searches are like suck so bad. And I just found out that
that's how this started, right?
Oh my God.
We wanted to search Nostr, fix the Nostr search.
Yeah. Oh man, I have to bookmark this one. All right, Mark. That's amazing.
And you can choose different models against it as well. But mm-hmm. I think that the one that's selected there, the Mixtral 7BN sensor is the best for that, not the 8x7.
Okay, got you.
You can try the different models against it too, which is mm-hmm. kind of cool.
Yeah. That's always love to compare answers just to see what I get. Like, because there'll be some interesting little quirks. Like one of the ones that I compared, and I think I talked about it on one of the videos that we have, was on AI Unchained, was I was getting a Python code for, it was a very simple app, and I cannot remember exactly what it was, but it was interesting because Mixtral put the word Python at the beginning of it as if I was like importing Python or something like that, but it wasn't exactly right. And it kept giving me an error, and all I had to do was delete it. But Mixtral gave me 16 lines, and ChatGPT gave me like 22 lines or something.
Is this
like
on
that.
Your local machine?
This was on my local machine, yeah. And it was a little slow on my MacBook, but right.
Yeah, no, I mean, like to use these things, like you know, we're using like the top of the line best video cards we can get out there.
Are you running like, them yourself? Tooling. Did you actually like get a bunch of shit and like
we did get a couple at CoinKite to do some experimental work but like we're like, you know what, like nope, for this project I'm like, this needs to scale like in a completely different way, like
yeah
we're just, so what we do is we just, instead of buying video card time, we actually like have the video cards, like not that we don't own them, but like essentially they're like hours.
You have allocated video cards specifically.
Allocated in large infrastructure. Like, you know, it's pricey.
Yeah.
but there is no other way. And like we encrypt like the data between the video cards and the server. And we also do that between the user and the server. We don't have tooling to read any of the data that the users are doing.
That's awesome.
The data is stored locally. Unless it's mm-hmm. like uploaded stuff,
mm-hmm.
Even the uploaded stuff, the smaller files stay local. Yeah, it's like really like privacy paranoia, and we hope that we can get like even better. Like maybe there's like a local key eventually that like only the video card can unlock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of trying to navigate both sides, right? Like it's like how private can I make, but at the same time I need to work on making this good.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's quite a ride. I mean, like there's so much to build. But it works.
It does. And the biggest thing in my opinion is it's the thing that had me using ChatGPT more than anything else. And now it's specifically something that I can use Unleashed for. And it's also partly why I was talking to the parse prompt guy in the last episode, is being able to upload your own stuff. Being able to like give it data and then ask it questions is freaking huge. Yes. Like I would spend so long scanning through, especially during like the COVID stuff, I would like scan through like scientific, like people would send me a study, it's like, this proves this. And like, I'd be like, son of a bitch. And I like, so I like go through this study and like, I'm trying to parse out what their stupid methodology is and go through all their jargon and nonsense. And it takes me a long time. And I know I'm just like, I should be doing the podcast. I should be doing something else. But like, I have to know if this is bullshit or not. And then I found out it's like a meta study of like a bunch of like a survey of a bunch of people asking questions. It takes me like 30 minutes to figure that shit out.
It's always a meta study.
And I'm just like, this is bullshit. They just asked a bunch of questions like, you know, do you eat red meat? And it's like, do you have heart problems? And it's like, yes. And it's like, bitch, 90%, 95% of those people are eating burgers and fries.
Yeah, no, it's
like cooked in canola oil.
So
like,
hopeless.
So yeah. Like, that's just an example, but I have been able to parse through them so fast. With these new tools, I can literally just, I have a copy paste prompt of like, what's the methodology? What's their, what's the base for how they set up their
you
study?
You should put that on a GitHub gist.
Maybe
put
I
it on
should.
A gist so people can like copy and use
it's
it and then
so
people
useful.
Can share it.
Yeah. And then I can search the document afterward just to confirm.
Actually, I'm going to make a note here. I want a library of prompts of like pre-prompts.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. And then you can kind of like sort through it like a live search on like, oh, what are you trying to do? Research paper, you know, like that sort of thing.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, I have a massive pre-prompt for GPT, but not for Unleashed. Like for some weird reason, like because it doesn't have the bullshit, like, mm-hmm. The bullshit got mostly lobotomized. Like I don't have to tell it to be less verbose, for example.
Okay.
Or like, don't be woke or all this shit.
This show is brought to you by the Cold Card Hardware Wallet. My favorite setup, which I know I talk about a lot, is the Nunchuck wallet on mobile that just connects directly to or just talks NFC whenever I need a sign. The Nunchuck does not hold my keys. It is securely on my cold card, not connected to the internet, not vulnerable to a phishing email or any malware or anything like that. If I ever need to send a transaction, I just create the transaction on my Nunchuck wallet and I tap it to my cold card. I hit sign, I tap it again, and then off it goes. There is no easier interface and way of interacting that grants a higher level of security, in my opinion, than that right there. It's genuinely incredible to me that we even have this capability in the Bitcoin space. And CoinKite has just made an entire suite of fascinating security and just fun Bitcoin devices and hardware products, like the block clock. Just connect it to your node and have it show the Bitcoin price, have it show the block height, just right there on your desk in this really cool package. If you haven't checked out what they have to offer, you definitely need to, and don't, when you go over there, do not forget that I have a 9% discount code. Bitcoin Audible, all one word, gets you 9% off. And you can go through the link in the show notes or just remember the discount code, which is not hard. It's just the name of the show. You can go through the link in the show notes to go right there or just go to the store, browse around, see what you want, get yourself a solid hardware wallet, experience the tap to send with a cold card hardware wallet. It's just kind of magical. And get notified for the Q1. I'm really stoked about my Cypherpunk BlackBerry, the new model that's going to be coming out. So check that out as well. Don't forget, 9% off. The link is right in the show notes. Go check them out.
One thing I wanted to ask specifically and kind of like dive into is vectorizing. So I have been trying to figure out how to be able to give it information on my computer. Like I have Obsidian notes and I have thousands of them now, and I would love to be able to search through them like I search through stuff on unleash.chat and can do with ChatGPT Vision or whatever their model is that lets you upload PDFs. I would love to be able to do that locally on my computer, and I have had a very hard time trying to find details or specifics on that whole process. Like, I've been looking at vectorizing models, quadrant.
It's not simple. It's not simple.
It doesn't seem like it, and I'm not able to find pieces.
That's
like,
where all the IP is, right? That's where, like, that's why OpenAI is worth what they are. That's why, like, you know, the arms race is a little like a few different sort of topics, right? Mm-hmm. There's the arm race of creating the deep learning models, right? Mm-hmm. Like that. That's one thing. The other arm race is like how to feed the beast data, right? Like, and like how to best do that, right? Like it's sort of like all over the place. There's like a million tool options, and you know, we're always experimenting with different stuff. No easy answers, guy.
Damn it.
Is no easy answers. Of course, and that's not. Like it's like one of those moments where like unless like people are like a programmer essentially, like day to day, it's very difficult still. The tooling is getting better. I mean, like, you know, but still, like you have to really sort of like test stuff out, and you have to write a lot of glue code. And
So you're using LangChain as part of it, like like mostly.
Yeah, okay. LangChain, and you know, we like Ooga Booga.
I don't know that one. That's a great one.
And then there's like a bunch of other stuff. Like sometimes you have to clean up the PDFs a bit before they go in.
Mm-hmm.
We're struggling right now. Like I really wanted to get time series data in. So time series is kind of like you know, like say how much Bitcoin was bought by a company every day. Right? Okay. It sounds so simple for humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
AIs really struggle with time series data. They really struggle. It's brutal. I don't know. Maybe it's because I am not an LLM expert. So like maybe it's because they have temporal issues.
Yeah.
So anyways, there is that. So we put that on pause. They're like, you know what, let's focus on search and do some other things. Because the other thing I wanted to do was block data, right? Like, I want to have the AI be able to understand block data. So, you know.
Oh,
like,
my God, that would be great.
The Coinbase, the transactions, everything. Because somebody's doing that out there, right? And they're going to try to de-anonymize me. So I wanted to try to understand, you know, before they do.
Yeah.
And see if there's anything better I can do.
Now, that would be so cool just because like every once in a while I'll see like a transaction or like somebody will share it. You're like, what the hell is this transaction in mempool? And it's like, it's weird because all of these outputs or something like that. Like have something that could basically parse out, you know, what's the signature doing? Like what's the script? Like all that stuff. That would be awesome.
So there is all that stuff. And then the other part of the funny part is like, how do you charge people, right?
Yeah.
Like for a service like this, right? And that's where we went like, it's like, Lightning native, right? You can't even pay with a credit card. It just we understand the cycles that cost like per token and per computational unit on the GPUs and on the servers and stuff, and to vectorize it as well, because we vectorize it in the GPUs. That's another problem too. If you try to vectorize that in your local computer, like a decent sized data set, it's like good luck. It's gonna melt.
It's like running an LLM with that big of a context window or something.
No, it really is brutal. And like we're like, yeah, fuck it. We're just gonna try to it's just Lightning only. Like just fill it up with like Lightning sats and just eats away from it.
That's awesome. That's sweet.
I really want to see how this plays out to DVMs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so curious about like looking at a long term time frame. Like the idea of a pool system seems like such a nightmare in a world where you can't, like, it's so hard to prove somebody is a person, you know. Yeah. And so like that thesis, that kind of idea has been something that I'm insanely curious about. And because like your costs. Payment fraud will not be in your cost structure.
Yeah, I mean, AI is still proof of work, right?
Yeah,
it costs, and I generally think that at least for the foreseeable sort of near future, we're on that path. Like, you know, people are tripping that we're going to have, like, you know, like amazing LLM ASICs in the next sort of like 2 years or 3 years or five.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're going to have interesting stuff. Like, it's going to make Siri good. Right? Like, you can ask Siri to, like, hey, you know, tell me the weather, and it doesn't tell you how to make a cake. Right?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, it's brutal, right? Google, on the other hand, what they do is, like, so just for people to understand, like, the reason why Google has decent AI and Siri sucks is because Apple claims to have privacy, right? So they don't aggregate user data and train Siri on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. While Google is like, literally, we don't give a shit. We are evil now. Like, they literally removed the tagline, right? So they're like, fuck it. We're just going to
database, like, of every conversation you've ever had.
Exactly. Like, yeah. it's totally like, that's literally what they're doing. 100%. Like, all your emails, everything. Like, there's nothing
your
that
can Google Docs,
run
your spreadsheets. Yeah, like, it's all just open. It's all just
everything.
Open.
And that's why it's better. But to have this better, that's, you can still compress that into a simpler, smaller model to run locally on the phone, especially fancy phones, right? But it's not quite there. Mixtral is the first model that is, like, really good, still being fairly small, but still brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, it still does some goofy shit every once in a while.
I think we're 6 months away from, like, some serious advancements in, like, you know, a new open model that's going to be amazing and it's going to be substantially better at everything. We're going to have a substantial improvement in, like, a smaller model that fits in, like, phones and things that's going to be used for like, you know, Siri-like operations. Like, play me, you know, a good punk song, and it doesn't play me Disney or something, you know, like, and like, another thing too, is like, they would be able to understand that I have an accent, that, like, everything, like, dude, I, Siri does not like my accent. It's brutal.
That's funny. I hadn't even thought about that shit.
Just having enough smarts to get over these little humps, I think we're very close. And it's going to feel like magic.
Yeah.
But then you're going to ask more complicated questions. And what I think all these companies are going to do is they're going to send that question to a bigger model in the cloud. And then you have to wait.
Yeah.
You know, the turnaround.
That makes sense. Yeah. You know, I can see that kind of being the hierarchy.
Yeah, I mean, Apple is so good at this. They're like, you know, it's only a hash of the voice and stuff or the questions. Like, they're really trying their best to do the privacy thing, right? Like, it's commendable, even though I'm sure the NSA has a backdoor anyways.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like,
it's like, listen, we're super, super private.
But it is, they pretend.
But we give these keys to the NSA. And
yeah, like,
while
Google is just selling your shit to everybody, right? Yeah. Like, that's the problem that I have with that. But anyways, so yeah, so I think, like, all these models are going to get much better, like, in the next 6 months. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, 2024 is going to be nuts.
Because, like, I'd say lately, like, after ChatGPT-4 came out, it became usable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, actually usable for daily life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's remarkable. You have to give the, you know, the evil Borg commandment there.
Yeah, like, closed AI has built a pretty amazing product. Like, I still use it daily. Yeah.
I call it Unleash, like, real-open-AI.
Real-open. There you go.
So like, you know, and as these models come out, we're going to load in every open model that there is, right? Like, that we find to be meaningful and interesting, right? Because there is a ramp up, right, for you to figure out how to run it right, because they're all different. Like, they all have little nuances, and you have to retweak all the tool chain, all the tooling for that specific model, and, you know, and then you have to fine tune it and tweak it, and you know there is a lot to it. And that's the goal for this project. It's just like more of everything, so it's like comparable, right? So, like, essentially, like, can I search the internet? Can I ask proper questions? Can I upload data? I mean, you can upload more data now on Unleashed than you can on the normal version of ChatGPT without giving them $1 million. No, seriously. Like, and it's your data. Like, we don't want it. We don't want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that literally is huge. Like, that's changed how I use it. And the fact that, like, you know, you get like a book 50 or whatever it is to start off with or something like that in credits. And then I can just like pay as you go. I freaking love the lightning, like UX, like just being able to quickly pay for something. Like, I'm so upset. Like Magnific is a great one that I've been trying to use recently, which I'm not sure if you know, but it's one that's like does huge, like crazy detail upscaling to images. Mm-hmm. And it's so awesome. But it is $40 a month, and I need to upscale like 2 images.
Yeah,
a month.
But you know what?
Like, I can't do that shit.
Those guys have hard costs to keep those GPUs like running, right? Like,
I'd pay $3 a image, though. You know, like,
but see, to me, the cost of GPU is fixed.
Yeah, like,
if I want those GPUs available, it's fixed.
Yeah,
and it's a fortune.
How many users did you say? You said you had 2,000 users now.
Yeah, we're almost 2,100 now.
Wow. Wow. Is it regular use? Like, what do you see as far as like activity? That's awesome.
So we don't have a lot of metrics because that's a shitcoin. Like, I don't count the beans. But like, we can see it from the cost side and from the load side, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd say like at least 1,500 users have used the chat. Like, so it's like not like, you know, came in, sort of logged in, log out kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So like the majority of the users are actually like using it.
That's awesome.
And yeah, so the thing to do now is like, okay, can it become comparable, right? So you have the web search, we have the Nostr that they don't have, so you can search that.
I can't believe I didn't know about that shit. This is so great.
It's
pretty, my new favorite thing about it.
there is no marketing department on this one. and then like I want to have a image generator that is like, you know, like comparable to DALL-E or like close to it, just because it seems that like people want everything out of the same thing.
Yeah.
So I either pay for the API to use OpenAI's DALL-E API, and then we'll tell you, right? Like, we would be sending this prompt to OpenAI, warning.
Yeah.
You know, it would be anonymized, of course, but still. And then you get that very high quality image there, or we try ourselves. But I'm trying not to spread too thin. Like, each of these like little endeavors is like, huge. You know, like OpenAI has like, you know, 1,000 people.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. And like, I can see from the context of like doing image generation, like I can see Stable Diffusion and like SDXL like producing really good results if you had an LLM basically sorting through, if you had like basically the library of LoRAs or LoRAs, whatever, however you say it, to essentially pull from, and you had LLMs selectively,
you can do that,
pulling like. But that seems like a huge endeavor to pull together all of that. Like, is that as hard as it seems to me? Or
you already can go and you can pull a repo, right?
Okay, like
you can pull a full repo from GitHub and do analysis on it, or tell it to do something to it.
Okay,
right?
Yeah,
that's already possible. And I haven't seen any other LLM that can do that. You put the GitHub repo URL and press upload. You don't even need to download the zip and re-upload it. It's just a whole repo pool. We do a git pool with only master for now. But then we're going to let you have the history. So you can do git. Can you imagine using AI to do git blame? That's going to be so much fun.
Oh my God. Okay.
So yeah, so just grab a repo and press like upload, and we'll vectorize it for you. And it's yours. Like, nobody else can see it. We can't even use your data to fine tune our models for other people.
See, I have not properly explored this. I've been using the normal chat and uploading some PDFs, but now that I didn't consider the fact that I've been asking a bunch of like hole punch related questions to, and somebody's got like an okay fine tuned one for ChatGPT. not that great. But I've been manually doing this by posting these things in the prompt. And I did not even properly understand that I could just put this into unleash.chat and start asking questions. That is awesome.
So because these models are not big enough, like, you know, like whatever ChatGPT is running locally, like in their servers must be like ginormous, right?
Yeah.
And they would not tell us, right? So because the limitation of how many tokens at the same time these AIs in our system can do, like you can't just say find me a bug in a million line source code, right?
Yeah.
But you can definitely go like, okay, you know, like can you tell me about this function? Like, can you like see if you can find any issues with this, like on how like this variable is like being brought into this type or whatever. Like you will go figure it out. Like it's remarkable that way. And the cool thing is Git, like repos have docs. Right. Yep. So when you upload the repo, now the AI knows the docs.
It has the explanation of
exactly
the thing. Yeah.
So right now, I think we only can do one repo per chat. Sure.
Okay.
And you can, you know, it's yours. We hold the data for you. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, you can reopen, close, or whatever. But like, I want to do eventually is like be able to have like, you know, 3-4. Can you imagine you have like 3 repos? Like an SDK, your company repo, and some other like draft that you're working on. And then you can say like,
holy shit,
can you build me an API between this library, my code base? You know, here's how I got so far.
Dude. Oh my God. This is really going to get so crazy so fast.
Yeah. It's like it's all time, like, you know, just need time to build the tooling.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with like, you know, like all the like the giga brain, like how do brains work and how do you build the new LLM? This is with the
just straight
LLM,
implementation. Right? Like this is just straight utilizing the tools that are sitting on the table. Yeah.
It's not that sexy. Nobody wants to work on this. They either want to be like, oh, look, I am a sovereign person. I do it on my laptop and the laptop is melting and it doesn't fucking work. Or it's like, oh, I want to like, you know, go like, you know, like brain fart about like how brains work and try to build everything and make a, you know, $250 billion a year working for OpenAI.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to work on the middle ground.
Oh, my God. That's the blue collar. That's the blue collar of it all, right?
Yeah, totally. It's like, you know, somebody needs to sit and like and write the glue, right?
They have to Minecraft this into a giant castle.
It's gonna get very interesting once like the because right now, if you want an AI to write code, you need to be a decent, like a very decent programmer because it's gonna come up with some stuff.
Yeah. To troubleshoot and sort through things, yeah, if it's of any size.
Remember, it's always harder to merge somebody else's PR than it is to write yourself, right? So the math any programmer does is you go look on your open pull request. It's like, should I reveal this shit? This is not how I would write it. Or should I just like write it myself, right? Like that's the conundrum that everybody who works, especially in open source, always have, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd say like a good 70% of the time is like, fuck it, I'm going to just write it myself. Thank you very much. I will credit you when I'm closing this PR.
Jesus.
And so like, you know, like what's really cool though is like sometimes you can ask the AI to write something for you because you haven't like figured out how to do something. Mm-hmm. And then you read it and oh, you get it. Oh, so that's how I write this. So that's how I do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's cool about that, then you go and you implement it yourself. It's also like very helpful at finding like bugs that are like, you know, like you just missed a comma here kind of thing, but you can't.
Yeah, simple syntax sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but even like some functional sort of thing, like you will help you. Like, I know JB55 uses AI a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a very good coder, like very very out there good coder kind of thing, you know, like a good 10 to 100xer kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The AI code writing and reviewing is a superpower. You know, you were already a 10x or you just doubled it. You know, because you can very quickly, you understand so deeply, and you can very quickly, like, you know, get that extra hint that your brain just didn't quite, like, you know, miss something or didn't look at that way. Mm-hmm. It's like it goes, right? Yeah. And it's also very good for the people who are learning code. So, like, you know, because then the basics are amazing, right?
Yeah.
Teach me how to do this kind of thing. And it can maybe even handhold you through the process. Now, the middle carvers, we're fucked. it's like really is a distraction. but we'll get there. You'll get there.
Swan Bitcoin has the full suite of Bitcoin financial services. You can instantly buy, with your bank account or wire transfer, any amount of Bitcoin up to $10 million worth. And you can easily set up what I have been doing for ages, which is an automatic purchase of Bitcoin on a weekly or monthly basis. You just pick your time frame and then automatically withdraw it to your cold storage. And still they have free withdrawals to self-custody, which I was sure would be gone by now. But you should always treat any custodian as a point of failure. And luckily, you won't have to go anywhere for all of the information and advice you need for why you should withdraw and how to do it safely, because Swan Bitcoin has all of the resources you need and will regularly remind you. About 80% or more of their customers automatically withdraw their coins. That is an amazing feat, if you ask me. Then they also have the Swan IRA if you have a traditional IRA and you want to get it allocated to Bitcoin. And there's so much more. With Swan Private, they have inheritance planning. You also have Swan business accounts, and you can even do Bitcoin as a part of your employee benefit plans. They have an advisory. They have the Swan Vault, a multi-sig service for those who want to have the benefits of holding the majority of their keys, but still also want to be able to rely on a trusted institution in the case of an emergency or a disaster. If you haven't started into Bitcoin yet, Swan is an amazing place to begin. Go to swan.com/guy. The link will be right there in the description. Again, that is swan.com/guy. And they will know that I sent you, and my beautiful face will be right there at the top of the page to greet you. I am a longtime user myself, and a huge thank you to Swan for supporting this show. And I definitely recommend you check them out.
Yeah, there's it's super interesting to see, especially seeing it used for like ideation and like kind of getting across like quote unquote writer's block, so to speak. Because like a good example actually just happened yesterday. So I got for my wife for Christmas or whatever, we have an old friend who's a photographer, and I used to do photography and film stuff a lot, but I'm just out of it.
Yep.
And we had them do a family session or whatever. And we went out, hung out at a park for a day and spent the morning with them. And we ended up talking about AI and Bitcoin and all sorts of stuff, because I don't know, how do you have a morning without that? But he was like, I was shocked I hadn't talked to him in years. And I was shocked at how much he was on the same page about a lot of this stuff. And as a photographer and an artist, is that he was like, I can't believe everybody doesn't see how valuable these tools are. And everybody's like just freaking out that like, oh, they're going to take my job. And he has this tool that he was using on his phone. He has an incredibly good, like kind of cinematographer's eye for like the frame and like seeing interesting shots. And one of the things that he was doing with the thing, he's like, and I don't use it often, but every single time I take a picture, I will send it just to see. And what it does is, he does it with his phone. Like he does it with a text, and he takes a picture that he's like thinking of and does it from the particular framing or angle or whatnot, and then sends it in. And then in about like 30 seconds, he'll get four images back, kind of like Midjourney style, you know, has like four different options. And what it will do is it will give you different framing. Like it will take the lighting and the setting, and it will give you a different frame, different lenses, like just awesome. Show you the variations that you could do. And he says, literally, sometimes it'd be like four or five times in a shoot where you're taking 2,000 pictures, you know, he will see something where he'd be like, oh my God, I didn't think about that. And it won't even be that he does exactly what the thing tells him, like shows him. It'll be that he realizes he can use that in a different way. And that's so, what I've found is so useful.
The mental model I have for AI, at least in say the next, like I don't have a time frame, but like this sort of like the next epoch of AI, right? So like these, like just the progression of what we have.
Yeah.
Right. So like not some crazy breakthrough that changes how we have to think about it.
Yeah.
But just the progression of this epoch. Is I think like essentially like anything that is repeatable is out of a job.
Yeah.
And like the essentially like the middleman is removed. And what we're left with is like the big picture people, the big picture thinking people, right? I'm not talking about like the, you know, the CEO of some massive company, nothing like that, but just like people who have bigger thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. Like a more parallel style thinking, right?
They see across disciplines rather than tightly inside one.
More generalist.
Yeah.
We'll have a superpower. Mm-hmm. Like it's an absolute superpower, right? And then the craftsman is completely gone. Like absolutely gone, right? Because what the craftsman has always been, not the artistic craftsman, right? Because like true artistic sort of like intuition, right? Like it's general big picture thinking, right? So it's like the idea that say like Michelangelo had for the cathedral, right? Like
the concept of the craftsman versus the craft itself.
But it literally like, it's just that like through history, right? You always had like a lot of the big picture artistic minds were also craftsmen, right? Mm-hmm. But then a lot of them had a lot of people actually doing the work for them, right? Yeah. Like Michelangelo, all these guys, they had like a crew of people who like did a lot of the work for them. Some people claim it's even most of the work for them, right? And like the beautiful repeatability is very hard for humans, right? So there's very specific people who have that skill to like go and engrave, say like metal in a firearm, right? Like you know those beautiful sort of like engraved guns kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like that is like that's true mechanical sort of like skill. And I'm not talking about the person who made the design, right? Often is the same person, but like but the thing is it's like the design thinking, right? The new novel thought, right? That is a super valuable thing. Now the actual craftsmanship, the execution, right? It's gonna be progressively eaten away by the AIs, right? Because they're just very good at that.
I mean, that's exactly what they are. They're pattern recognizers and repeaters, essentially, in various formats.
That's right. So for example, you know, the AIs still need the questions, the big questions, right? Like, and it's going to remain like that for a long time, in my view. So, for example, you know, one of the things that led me to this unleashed.chat thing was like, I wanted to ask, based on my general ledger of all the sales of all time and all these products I make and all the stuff that, you know, I do, okay, is there a correlation between selling Mark IVs and the moon phase?
Okay.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Okay, maybe, you know, like maybe the thing comes back to me. Yeah, you sell more of the orange version on Tuesdays in a super moon like month.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, like it's like,
and you got your market strategy. That's when I'm gonna post it on right? the tweets like, and the notes.
Because like imagine like the amount of people that it would take in a room to be able to correlate all that data and the amount of mistakes they're going to make trying to correlate all that data.
Yeah.
Like it's just too hard. Like humans can't do that shit. Right.
Simply too much computation. It's just too much. Huge computational problem.
You get lost in the trying to even understand how to do that calculation. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So an AI is like really shine at this stuff. Right. So like, I really want to get to a point where like, you can do those things on private data, right? Like you can ask like intimate questions, right? Like about like things so, like, I don't know, like your mental health shit, right? Like related to like, I don't know, like your own fucking tweets. Like, can you imagine you ask like,
yeah,
you know, how crazy am I? Here's my tweets.
When did I start just becoming a rageaholic and just posting nothing but negative shit? It was like, oh, somewhere October of last year. I don't know what happened, man, but October of last year.
Can you imagine how cool it would be though? Like if you can feed one, like a machine like this, you can feed your health data, right? You can feed some like blood exam data, and then you can feed all your tweets. And then you can say like, can you find if like, you know, maybe I was like, you know, missing some selenium or something, you know,
yeah,
through all these years.
That's right? So like, crazy
to think
about.
Plot it for me.
Yeah. And what's so interesting about that is that even if the AI, like it's not even that, like, you know, people are like, oh, AI can't be a doctor. It's like, well, it's not about, like, a good doctor isn't just that they're like super intelligent or they read every medical book. It's that they have context. It's that they know your situation, and there's no way to go sit down and explain to a doctor in nine hours, like all of the things that you eat, all of the things that you tweet, and to even understand it from your bias that you won't even understand in your own information what you should be
sharing.
That's right. But the AI can have that context. That's so crazy. Yeah.
Or like, for example, I go on like, you know, I get like, you know, some folks like, you know, there's always like a few salty users on Twitter that you go like,
what?
I know you're a sock of this person, right? Like, and you just grab their tweets, you know, like this tweet, this, like this person's tweet, this person's tweet, this person. And you go like, is it a sock or not? Yeah. That's I have 70% confidence that this is a sock, you know,
that's great.
Because it's more than just text analysis, right? Like it's sentiment analysis,
time analysis.
Yeah. There's like a lot that goes in it. And it's just too much data for a normal pocket to be able to like handle, right? Like you can't just hire 1,000 people of like multidiscipline and say like, okay, go.
Because
that's how
because their coordination between them is really like is a huge problem there, whereas
and things get lost in the middle too, right?
Yeah.
Like when you have like, I mean, you look at like the level of like marketing that Walmart or like Amazon and like how, aside from trying to understand the person through their behavior, like everything else, they sort of like the level of thought that goes into making sure you buy a ton of shit from them is insane, right? Like you need like rooms full of people, data, different disciplines, and like having that level of computational capacity right at your fingertips is pretty insane. And and again, and without sharing your data with OpenAI,
without plugging it all into Google and giving them a holy crap, man, like that was really what got me starting the podcast. Was like, I was immediately impressed, and I could see like where we were headed. And then my immediate next thought was like, Google has everything. You know, like these companies are going to have a degree, and they probably already are using LLMs and machine learning to a degree to understand what the hell we're doing that we aren't even aware of. It's just that when ChatGPT is sitting in front of you and you can talk to it, or Mixtral or whatever, you realize just how capable like the scope of surveillance really could be on the back end that they've probably been building for 15 years, you know, like, yeah,
absolutely.
But it also, the other point that you made is, especially if we can build these things private and self-sovereign and even self-hosted, and is the potential of that, like talking about like the craftsman, the specific craftsman is gone, and it's handed over to the generalist. It's handed over to the person who can specifically innovate or combine ideas in an interesting way, is that it literally moves all of the capital, all of the foundation for pushing capital into the future from the like the hammers and the like the people who are actually executing. And it automates a lot of the execution, and it moves it specifically into the kind of innovators and thinkers zone, so to speak. It empowers the artist. It empowers the artist. It empowers the artist without the lawyer, without the middleman, without the streaming platform. Like, it just goes straight. It kind of skips.
No, but even lawyers, it's funny, right? Because like, a good lawyer is the same as a programmer, right? Like, he's a bit of an artist, right? Like, he figures out like how to do shit in an unconventional
way.
Very
true.
But then you have the paralegals. Boom, gone.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
that's so crazy.
I really like, yeah, like, that's why I rather accelerate this thing first, because you can't really hold it back. I mean, it's
good
it's
luck. An honor. Like Jesus.
And the West doing this woke stupidity with AI is just holding everybody back, and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, China already, like, AI's the fuck out of everybody. You know, like, they know who you are, what you're doing, and everything. You know, the UK does that with, like, facial recognition for, like, the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the level that they're in there is insane. You know, like, this is the world we have. So accept and try to thrive in it, right? Like, it's not your choice.
Yeah. And I can't believe it. And I get that people are like, oh, my God. Like, they have such a small view of it. And they're like, oh, my job's going to go away, or this. And, like, that means I'm going to be poor. But, like, when you look at it as, but where's the capital moving to? Is that it means that specifically everything that actually is going to have capital allocated to it is specifically something that is going to be a step, like a genuine improvement over the way a thing is done rather than the doing of the thing, which means that all of this capital is going to be freed up, this specifically in like an economy of ideation.
The Marxists don't like this.
Yeah.
No. The Marxists, this is like literally the nightmare of Marxists, right? Like, it's like, we're going to get all the people who do the hammering, who are unionized, right? Like, who like really, really think that because they sweated, they deserve more, right? Like, and we're going to end. Everything is automatable, okay? Everything.
Yes.
The question for a business person always is it cost efficient to automate it? Yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Like, you look at McDonald's, right? Like, places where McDonald's was forced to unionize and also have a certain level of minimum wage that they deemed to be incompatible with the business economics, right?
Mm-hmm.
They put screens. Like, so I can't remember where was it, but I went to this McDonald's store and it was like fairly like big. Okay, mm-hmm. Like, it was like a store that probably sits like 50 people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was one dude.
Like, holy shit.
There was one dude in there.
Wow.
Like I was like, okay, wow. No, there must be like another person in there. I asked the guy. He's like, yeah, no, like, you know, if it's not peak hour, I am alone here.
Wow.
And in peak hour, I have another person with me. This store is like testing this gear and stuff and like, you know, like, it's like, the fries get dropped in the fryer by themselves.
God, that's so crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, like, what is a store to do when you have government-mandated economics?
Yeah. Yeah. And when it doesn't align with reality, it's not like, you can't just pretend. You can't just pretend.
That's what, like, you can't just pretend, right? Yeah. And that's true for everything else, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I feel like, regulated professions, like, they, like, all the younger or like smarter people can't wait to use these tools in their profession. Like, I know lawyers that want to do it. I want doctors that want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't overtly because, you know, they lose their licenses, kind of thing. But like, it's coming, you know, and you know, you're going to be, your doctor is going to tell you, oh, you're supposed to do this. You're going to be like, no, computer says no. Computer says I'm supposed to do this other thing. And
it's going to be the equivalent of, like, I looked it up on the internet. Is that like, well, my AI said this?
It's going to be very, very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, it already is, right? Like, I you know, I had a fairly, like, reasonably smart family physician, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, he was great because pre-COVID, you know, like, I tell him all this new shit. I send him studies. I send him books, mm-hmm. you know, to get him up to date with my thinking is, right? And, you know, it's physicians really don't like that, and they love running on 20 to 30 year old information because it's proven, and you know, and they think they know better.
Yeah.
But this guy was at least a little bit more open to, you know, there is a path here, and the numbers sort of follow whatever you are, like your results sort of follow your thinking, right? So it's mm-hmm. like it clearly cannot say you're like dumb or not, like, or wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
But COVID broke him. Like, you know, he went full so fucking people. Retard. Oh, no, it worse than that. Like, he was already a bit of a germaphobe. Mm-hmm. So like it really sort of like, oh, you know, it fully destroyed the man's mind. And it's unfortunate because, like, you know, you can't, you see how this, like, this big shifts in thinking or things, like, mm-hmm. like people will put the stop, like, it's like, I'm not crossing this line. I'm scared, yeah. or I don't have the cognitive capacity, or I don't have the cognitive time. You know, I'm preoccupied. Like, listen, I have to deal with 200 patients. I have to follow my license. I have to follow the state advice. And I just don't have the mental space to fight that. And also, you know, it's not out of malice, right? Like,
it's just too many battles at once. It's just too many battles
exactly.
at once. Exactly. And when something starts pushing too long, it's interesting too. Is I've had friends who I can't talk to about stuff like that anymore, and it's largely because, like, I used to be able to have them open about all sorts of things, even in that vein of discussion, but like it's like as soon as it hit up against one part of their Overton window, and clearly the conversation required them to venture outside of it every single time, rather than it causing any more cracks or anything, like they actually shrank their Overton window. Like, they actually just got
it. Yeah, it's normal. Like, listen, if you push wildlife, they push back.
Yeah.
You know, that is the most natural behavior, right? Like, that's why I don't fault people. Like, it's just, this is the natural behavior, right? Like, being super open to shit is not the natural behavior. Like, you know, we have a bit of self-selection in Bitcoin, right? Because, like, you know, the nature of the beast. But, like, that is not the natural behavior. And like, I think we need to be more cognizant about that, right? And like, AI, like Bitcoin, is just gonna punch people in the face. Like, it's just a full on assault on what you think, what you believe, like the economic path you're gonna have to take.
Yeah,
like, we are reducing the autonomy of the people that don't want to think further. Right, like,
and that's a lot of people,
it's the majority,
yeah,
right? Like, most people don't want freedom, they just want a better cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep on inventing freedom tools like we are, it's a problem, right? It rubs people the wrong
Damn
way,
it.
Too.
We're
right?
the ones who ruined everything,
yes, oh, Jesus. And it's all voluntary, all personal responsibility, right? Like, I mean, very soon you're gonna have some very high end. Open source medical models, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be resisted the most, but it's going to come out, right? And they're gonna have hallucinations too, right? So hallucinations is what you call when the model just comes up with, like, you know, a beautiful explanation of how gravity doesn't exist, for example. You know, it really believes that gravity doesn't exist, right? And you need to know that gravity exists in order to, like, you know, exist in that conversation and not jump out of a window, right? But you're gonna have this exact conversation, right, with like a medical model that's gonna know a lot more than your doctor, right? It's gonna and you're gonna have to have enough responsibility, enough self capacity, right? Like, of parsing, like, you know, okay, my doctor is saying don't jump out the window,
yeah.
This model is saying jump out the window. Which one is right? And they're completely different, sort of like, and they all can back it by data. They can back it with like, you know, all the studies. They can give you all the books to read, and like, and you don't have a whole lifetime to become a doctor.
Yeah, but there's probably a nugget of truth in what both of them say that's actually useful, but that the context of both might actually be wrong still in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then you're going to have, like, thankfully, like, you can also have, like, some critical models and other things. You can use other models,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
To help you parse through it. But still, like, you're still trusting models. Like, I think the trusting of the models is going to be very similar to, like, trusting cars, right? So, like, you know, in the beginning, cars were slow, thankfully, because they also killed you. They tipped over, you know, like,
the
brakes didn't work. The steering didn't, you know, wheels came off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as the models become more powerful, they're also going to, like, represent to you a bit more security and more, like, you're going to have more confidence in them because they're going to be right more often, right? It's hard, man. Like, when new things, like, I mean, people still don't trust Bitcoin because it's not physical. Like, I mean, and that's a very, very, very fair, like, criticism of Bitcoin. Like, it's one of the most fair criticisms of Bitcoin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you just back away from our religious sort of understanding of Bitcoin, right? Like, our, like, complete suspension of like, you know, reason. And how fervor we are about it, right? And we think in terms of, like, oh shit, like, you know, in shit hits the fan kind of scenario, right? Like truly, like, no internet, no power, no nothing. Like, yeah, Bitcoin is kind of tough.
Yeah,
you know, I can send a transaction via ham, but, like, it might not be mineable, right? Like, it might there might not be nobody mining out there. So, like, in that sense, it's true, right? So, you know, you're going to find sort of, like, similar analogies with AI as well, where it's like, ah, you know, it's not that perfect, right? So, like, how do I work around it? Where's its limitations?
Yeah.
Right. You know, gold is also stupid when shit hits the fan. Like, what do you want is lead? You know, it's bullets.
Yeah.
Not gold. Gold is useless too. So
yeah, bullets are the universal
that's
currency.
Right, right? and it's like divisible, usable. But anyways, it's just like there is a lot of things we still have to think through, like, when it comes to AI, because, like, we have to use it. It's like, it's just too much, like, garbo on social media and sort of the news and you know, people sort of, like, either future baiting or like, you know, fake demos, and it's like people want to do things, but they're not, like, using for real life sort of everyday things.
Yeah.
One thing I see people using AI a lot now is for, like, where is a menu on iOS to change something? Like, can you?
Dude, I've done that shit. Like, wait, where is the settings
how do I do
for
this?
Continuity camera?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Totally. Like, and it's great at that. Like, you know, like, oftentimes we'll give a very reasonable answer.
Yeah.
You know?
That's funny.
The IT people are going to get replaced. Great.
Any day now. Any day now. It's going to be the amount of change is crazy. But what's funny, it's like so many people are pessimistic because I think of the degree of, like, that their thinking has to shift. And I think a lot of the reason why Bitcoiners are probably so easy to be optimist is because, like, we've already broken all that shit. We've already had our, like, meltdown to zero and then build back you know, moment. Yep. And so, like, all I see
is open vessel.
All I see is, like, unbelievable optimism because, like, I see that, like, so much of our energy wasted in just implementing and kind of, like, going through the process of keeping the way systems work today working. It's like 90%, 95% of our energy is just in, like, keeping it running today. And that's the stuff that can kind of be modeled. Like, that's the stuff that can slowly be etched away into this whole sphere. And when we have all of that capital re-divert towards innovative thinking and, like, coming up with a new way of doing it and, like, innovating on, like, the way we organize it and stuff, like, talk about the sort of, like, price of tomorrow thesis of, like, everything is going to accelerate again. You know, it's going to accelerate on top of its acceleration because that's what everybody's going to have to do. That's the only thing left for humans to do is iterate and improve.
Like, you know, there is never an end to how much we can engineer forward, right? Like, it's like, this is why, like, I don't like the doomers, right? And like, I don't like the, you know, the decelerators, right? It's like, you know, it's not your choice. Like, you know, even like, say, for example, you're like, you know, a climate alarmist kind of style person, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, there is enough data out there for you to convince yourself, right? Like, if anything, there's more data on that side than the other, right? And like, China is not going to stop fucking like burning coal.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to burn more coal and more coal and more coal.
They're going to sleep warm at night, and they're not going to give a shit about like how many paper straws.
So the answer is not to like ruin your side of the competition by charging taxes on like burning coal. Mm-hmm. It's to like burn more coal than them and then come up with even clever shit than them to go use more energy. Right. It's like the race, you know, it's a Kardashevian race. It's like, who's going to spend more electricity?
Yeah.
Right. And that's true for everything. It's like, what else can we just like keep on moving forward? Right. Like, you don't have the luxury as a species. You don't have a luxury to like, species get extinct all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
there is no luxury to staying unevolved.
That's some stay humble right there. Species go extinct all the time, dude.
Like, all the time.
It's
right?
True,
like,
though. It's like, fucking true.
We are in a race. Like, you know, it's like the human lifespan is so tiny, right? Like, that, like, we sort of lose this perspective that, like, you know, all species get extinct eventually.
Yeah.
So, like, can we be the first one that doesn't?
And at least not until the heat death of the universe, right? If we don't make it to figure out where the next one is.
I mean, if anything, we should be warming up the planet because we're going to go through another ice age. It's going that direction.
Well, we're at like a 60 million low, you know, like in CO2. If CO2 is going to help warm it up, we really should do it. You know, we're like 400 parts per million.
I run my car extra just to help.
just to do my part. You know, we need to get back up to the Cambrian explosion. We need to have another Cambrian explosion. We need to go from 400 parts per million back up to 8,000. Then we'll have flourishing life. We're good.
I mean, cars don't pollute anymore, right? Which is great. Like, you don't, like, you're not breathing like a bunch of carcinogens as much anymore from them, right?
Yeah.
Which was the problem. So, like, CO2,
far bigger
problem. Like,
yeah.
You know, CO2, it's, anyways, that's all a waste of fucking time.
My tree is greener in my front yard.
You know, it's like the non-waste time thing is like, what else can I build to make my life,
to make that,
and like the future better, right?
Yeah,
like, 100%. It's like Bitcoin, and like, you know, it's like, is it Bitcoin devices? Is it like, you know, is it the AI shit? Is it like, you know, like, I love what the kids are doing now with the eCash stuff that resolves most of Bitcoin scaling problems. You know,
I'm so excited about eCash.
The realization.
People,
I mean,
people shit like, on that, but I think it's great.
I don't care. Yeah. People shit on everything.
People, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, you know, we're having fun.
It's okay.
We're having fun, you know, and we're monetizing the fun. You know, it's we're winning.
Yeah, we're winning hard.
You know,
it's pretty great.
We're winning hard, right? And you know, you can't like don't let the doomers and the you know, these people, like the people with the bad vibes, pull you back, right?
Hell yeah, that's probably a good note to end on. That's probably a good note to know. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up? Anything you wanted to share about like what you're planning on doing with Unleash.chat in the future? Noster logins, login with Lightning ID, whatever the hell.
So right now, I think the next thing. So I resisted Noster login because I don't like linking personal identity to data. But I'm going to
an interesting point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to do it anyways, because I want people to be able to use DVMs and to chatbot via DMs instead of having to go to the website.
Oh my God, that would be cool. That would be cool. Yeah, the features outweigh. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you can still choose. I mean, like, you can do just password and username and no email, or you can do email.
Yeah.
It's all up to you. Yeah. You know, as Marty would say, optionality. And then, so the DVM stuff should be very interesting, because then we can really see what people really want to do with it. And then I want to get into search. Search is a biggie, because it really expands the experience. Like, you know, most people don't want to have to know that you can't ask certain questions and get a good answer in certain models, or, you know, like people don't want to learn how to use LLMs. We're still at the early phase of LLM where you need to know how to use the LLM, right?
Yeah. to not get a bad answer, or to not just right. have it take you down this goose chase. Yeah.
So search does help with that experience, right? Mm-hmm. And it's overall super fucking useful, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, after search, I think we're gonna try to do time series data again.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that one.
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, and I just tell people, yeah, like please go try it. Like try Unleashed, and like and there is anonymous feedback there. You can submit issue reports. It's right okay, near sweet. The chat window. It's fully anonymized. We don't want to know. Well, I mean, of course, your question would be part of that, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, we explain where the pitfalls are. So try it and let us know. I need to know what people actually want to use it for, are willing to pay for. Yeah, that's where the real demand is. No supply. Supply-based product creation, only demand product, demand-based product creation.
I'll try to actually send feedback more, and just kind of like, since I guess you have no insight on how I'm using it, it would probably actually be useful just to be like, I'm using it for this, 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 and this, and like, this is the big thing. I can't believe I hadn't really thought about or gone the GitHub repo route. Like somehow that hadn't stuck in my mind, because I've just been using it from kind of my same chat window that I've been using over and over again. So that I think is probably going to change how I use it, actually. Just
and it's funny because
like
that chat
that
window is on your local desktop, right?
Yeah.
You know,
It changes if I go to another browser or whatever. Yeah.
That's right. it really is local. When we mean it, we don't have it. We really don't have it.
Which is awesome. It's so great. Anyways, I will have the link in the show notes.
This was fun.
Yeah, dude, appreciate it, man. This is gonna be a good episode. People will love that this week. Thank you for coming on, man.
Awesome. Hey, my pleasure.